I'm Christine Blanchette, and joining me on the closing act of Music and Entertainment program is Drew Arnott. He is an award-winning singer, songwriter, and co-founder of the Canadian band Strange Advance. Drew is back on the show to talk about the upcoming tour and other projects. So welcome back, Drew.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe time is flying. We're just talking before we went on air, and I mean, it's just been, it's so exciting to have you back. And now you're going back on tour, and I understand it'll be May 24th in Sydney, which will be your first time.
Yeah, this year, that's the first show of this year. Yeah.
Wow.
And we're looking forward to that. It's, I've never been there, but apparently it's a very nice little theater. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's the first time for everything, right?
Yeah. Well, we love Victoria, and Sydney. Actually, it was a few years ago I saw the Trooper were playing there, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I looked into it and into the theater, and I thought, well, you know, there's an idea. And Sydney's a lovely little town, so we're going to go visit it.
Yes. And it's a small audience too, right? Which is like, do you prefer performing in front of large audiences or small, or does it just depend?
Well, no, you know something, it all depends. First of all, back in the 80s, our very first shows in Toronto, the very first show we played in Toronto was in front of 12,000 people at Ontario Place.
Wow.
So that was like, and you know, of course, when there's 12,000 people there, you're only looking, you can only see the people in the front rows. And so it doesn't have that big an impact. But then sometimes when you look out and you see, you know, everywhere you can look, there's people there. It's a little bit daunting. But the nice thing about, we're doing a variety of shows. We do the Sydney Theater, so that's like 300 some odd people in this nice little theater in Sydney on May the 24th. Then we ship our gear off to Toronto, and we're headlining the Sound of Music Festival in Burlington. So, and they get like 500,000 people there over the 3 or 4 days that they run this thing. So there'll be, you know, 20,000-30,000 people. And but the difference is the 300 people that are going to be at the Mary Winspear Theater are all our fans. You know, they're there to see us specifically, and they're very excited, and they know all the deep cuts on past records and stuff, and anything we do is just wonderful for them. Whereas when you're playing in front of 20,000 or 30,000 people, it's like, they're not all your fans. You know, they're there to see one of the other acts on the bill or who knows what. But, or there's some guy yelling out for, you know, Nickelback, you know, play. It's like, no, sorry, you've got Strange Advance. So that's the only difference. But anyway, we're hoping we'll be able to win over the people that aren't familiar with us.
Yeah. So, you know, why now go back on tour? Like, you know, how...
You know something? This has been such a charge, a boost for everybody in the band. You know, because, you know, we've all done our different things over the years. And like I moved away from live performance. Well, for the most part, I joined my dad's band about, you know, 15 years or so ago. And he had a little dance band that played music from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and stuff. And that was the extent of my live performance since the days of Strange Advance, you know, and which I very much enjoyed because I'm actually a drummer originally. So it gave me a chance to get back on the drums, and that was fun. But everyone else in the band, you know, they've kind of drifted away from the live performance. You know, I mean, we're of that age, you know, we're more retirement age than anything else. So it's given the band just this great opportunity to have that thrill again. Of, you know, playing that music in front of, you know, a small, large audience, it doesn't matter. It's just a very fun thing for a musician to do.
Yes, and And looking back, right, of all, I guess it's like over 30 years, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. The other cool aspect of it is when we first started touring and playing live, we didn't tour until after our second album. And and so we had no idea who our fans were, you know. So then finally we're out there in front of them, and for the most part they're like high school students, college students, you know, young people. And when we go out there, we still have those ex-high school, ex-college students, except now they're like in their 50s or 60s or something, you know. And getting a chance to meet them and hearing all their stories, you know. Oh, you know, we played this song for our first dance at our wedding, or this song was played at our mom's funeral, and all this kind of thing. So you get to hear all these wonderful stories, and we have the time now to listen and to hang out with the fans and hear all the stories. It's quite an experience.
Yes, and for songs like you're going to be performing in Sydney and then Toronto. But do you have like a repertoire of songs that you'll be singing? Like, does it matter, or how does that work?
Well, you know, that's a good question. First of all, there's the songs that you have to sing, and those are the songs that, you know, got the most radio play and stuff that people expect you to play. And then what we're doing is we're delving into the back catalog and we're digging up a song from, you know, this album, from that album, that, you know, that hasn't been played for the last 40 years. So it's fun to mix that up. And also we're experimenting with, you know, some covers of favorite songs from back in the day. And that's a lot of fun too, you know. So yeah, it's a mix of old and new.
That's wonderful. And so Toronto, and where else? Like, because you're going to come back to Vancouver, right?
We're basically flying out to Toronto, flying back to Toronto, flying back. Seriously, we're at least three times this year we'll be going back and forth. And Ontario is basically our home base, because that's where the vast majority of Canada lives, you know. But we're also doing we're also going to Montreal, so that's going to be a lot of fun. The last time we were there, we did a Much Music special, and as a matter of fact, I have fond memories of that trip, because it was the one time in my life where I had like a Beatlemania moment. We were doing the television show in this big club, Le Spectrum. We left on a break, a dinner break or something, and we come out the side doors and we look up the street. That's like, what's going on? And there's this group of girls who are like, there they are, and they're all running after us. So we're like, run away, who knows what's gonna happen. So anyway, it was a fun time.
Yes, like we run, you know.
Yeah, we were running all right.
No, I mean, that's such great. And you know, like with the landscape of performing has changed, and it's so great. Like I said, congratulations on, you know, booking and playing back on the road. But there's a lot to it. Like you were talking about bringing your gear. That's a lot. I can't even imagine.
Well, here's the thing. Most bands of our vintage, they go out and they do what they call fly-in gigs. So they basically jump on a plane, and some of them don't even bring a guitar. As a matter of fact, one band I know, the drummer doesn't even bring a pair of drumsticks. Everything is supplied for them at the other end, and they just jump on stage, you know, play their show, off the stage, back on the plane, they go home. We can't really do that because we're very specialized. A lot of our equipment is very customized and not available for rent anywhere else. So we have to bring our own. So we have to load up a couple pallets of equipment, especially because we work with Tim Hill, this visual artist, who just does fantastic work, artistic work on stage. We've got, you know, big screens, projections, you know, like six or eight projectors, you know, lasers, all this is going on, and we have to bring that with us. So it means that, and really the bottom line is, it means that we need to make more money on the road than your average band, because it costs us to bring all these extra crew, bring extra, you know, equipment, all that stuff. It all adds up. So what we have ended up doing is promoting our own shows. We book the venue, we advertise it. You know, usually the venue sells the tickets, so we don't have to worry about that. And what it happens though is, you know, we were talking about this earlier, because we're the promoter, we get to decide how seats are allocated. And because things are so tough out there for so many people, you know, I hear stories about people, you know, cutting back on food, you know, and coming to a show like ours is like, you know, just not within their reach. So then we've set aside, you know, a percentage of seats at each show. And if you can't afford the seat, you know, send us an email. And as long as there's seats left, you know, you will have a free seat to the show.
Oh, that's wonderful to have that, you know, because you talk about inflation and so what do? Go to a concert or buy groceries, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And what made you decide to do this? I guess, you know, watching the news and thinking, well, you know, you care for your fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what happened was, you know, sometimes a fan would reach out to me and say, listen, I'd love to be at the show. I just can't afford to do it. And it's like, as I say, we're promoting our shows. So I says, well, don't worry, I'll comp you a couple of seats. You know, it's not a big deal. But then I realized there's a lot more people out there that don't have a personal connection with me, you know, but they love the band. They want to see the show. And I don't think, you know, I don't think being a broke person should be a bar to, you know, attending a concert. I think that, you know, music is for everyone.
Yeah, and it's wonderful, as I said. And you know, for people who are interested, they send an email, right? And then you go from there.
If you're a Strange Advance fan, and I'm guessing not too many people are going to show up if they're not, but if you are a Strange Advance fan, send an email to info@strangeadvance.com and and tell us what's going on. And if we can do it, if we have the seats available, we'll give you free seats.
Yes. Now, for tickets to go to your show or your upcoming shows, where can they go?
Well, you can go to our website, I guess, strangeadvance.com, and you'll find links to tickets there. And you know, Facebook is apparently the place now to advertise shows like this. So we're doing a lot of advertising on Facebook. So I'm sure you'll run across the ad. But as I say, go to strangeadvance.com if in doubt, and you'll find links there.
Drew, before we leave, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'll just share this with you. As I was saying, this time out, like after every show, we head into the lobby and we hang out with the fans. Back in the 80s, you didn't do that. There was a big gulf between, you know, the performer on stage and the fan that came to see the show, you know, and it would be very rare that you would get to actually, you know, meet people. But it's the best part of the show for me, you know, getting to hear the stories, you know, getting to actually meet these people. And I see them, you know, leaving comments on our Facebook pages and stuff. But you know, so now I can actually put a face to the name, and it's a wonderful experience getting to hear all the stories. That's what I love the most.
You know, what an opportunity, and it's intimate, and you just feel there's such a connection, and it's wonderful. Drew, I loved having you come back, and it was so much fun to talk to you again, and can't wait for to hear more. And for tickets again, go to your website or Facebook. Yes. Thank you.
My pleasure, Christine. Hope to see you at the show.
You will. Thank you. Hi, I'm Christine Blanchette, and joining me on the Closing Act Music and Entertainment Program is a very special guest, Malcolm Perry, who is a newspaper columnist and photographer with an impressive career. For over 40 years, he's had his thumb on the pulse of the city of Who's Who. He's finally, there's a documentary out there about Malcolm and his work called Society Page. And welcome so much, Malcolm, to the show. I'm just so excited to speak with you today, and congratulations on a documentary about you. Did you ever think there would be a documentary?
I hope there wouldn't be.
Yeah. Yes.
It took a little convincing to with Kevin Eastwood before he did it. But anyway, he found a way to convince me that it would be a good idea. I think it was.
Yes. I mean, and you met him through one of your many, many events, right? And he approached you and said, let's do a documentary, Malcolm.
Yeah. I think the main thing is my work is really not about me. It's about all the people I dealt with. And,
I mean, how does it feel, though, to have a documentary about your life and looking through your lens of photographing people and writing? I mean, how does it feel to be there now? It's live streaming on the Knowledge Network.
Well, it was interesting to see it. And it was interesting to hear some other people whom I respect, who were in the picture, and said things that weren't overtly flattering, but that were, you know, their honest opinions. And that was interesting to hear.
Yeah, so it in the documentary, I've watched it, and very educational about your life work in the history of Vancouver, of the events. And when did you know you wanted to be, with the town talk? You were doing it once a week, right? And then you were doing it twice a week, and then three times a week. I mean, how did your love of photography start?
Just almost since I was a little kid.
I was
mainly through my dad. Mm-hmm. There's a saying in this world that a lot of men, and probably it applies to women too, that they often do professionally what their fathers did as a hobby. And my dad had a hobby of photography, and he's pretty good at it. And it certainly appealed to me early on. He had a hobby in carpentry. And my other brother, middle brother, became a hell of a good pattern maker. He could make anything with wood. And my dad had a hobby for music, playing the piano. And my other brother became a professional keyboard player. So as far as I'm concerned, in our family, it was true. We all did professionally what our dad did for a hobby. That's how it started. Maybe you were doing the same as your mom did for a hobby. I don't know.
Yes. And did it bring up, like, memories, nostalgia, right? Going back to the beginning and then going down memory lane of going to so many events. And but how many events did you go to?
How many grains of sand are there on the beach? I don't know. I went to hundreds of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what reporters do. You know, you could say to another staff reporter at the Vancouver Sun, how many political meetings did you go to? How many car accidents did you cover? No, I mean, who knows how many? It's just what you do for your job.
Yes. Yeah, and Melvin, may I ask you, do you have any favorite photos?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I can sort of turn that question around a bit in the sense that when you do this, you don't really think of all the pictures you take. That's just your job. So, of course, of Kevin making the movie and me seeing the movie and seeing all those photos, of course, I remember every one of them. And what maybe surprised me, I thought, hey, they're not too bad. Some of them are pretty good. Yes. And you don't think of that when you're going along.
Yes. Yes, and can you share any funny stories or highlights?
The highlights I could share, the most dramatic ones, were ones that didn't appear in the movie, but dealt with other people that I interviewed, people of what you might call a deeply criminal nature, very serious, bad people. They're also the highlights, but they never, for all sorts of good reasons, they didn't appear in the movie. Well, what's that? Somebody calling? That's the front doorbell.
Yes. No, because, yeah, so what has the feedback been like?
Oh, I remember. I do remember a highlight now.
Oh,
in
good.
The picture, in the photo. There's in Kevin's picture, there is a shot that I took from the top of one of the towers of the Lionsgate Bridge. And a very wide angle shot. I actually won a photo competition with it and won $500, which was
wow.
But it transpired for all the wrong reasons. I wasn't due to make that picture. Take that photo. I was editor of Vancouver Magazine at the time. We had a photographer assigned to do the shot. Everything was all arranged with the people who operate the bridge to have someone go up inside the tower. And by the way, if you ever go up inside a tower of the Lionsgate Bridge on a hot sunny day, you will find a hell of a lot of birds in there. And birds, they leave a lot of guano, so rather smelly and hot. But anyway,
yeah.
About 10:30, we got a phone call from the assigned photographer that he was scared. He was too, he couldn't go up. He'd lost his nerve. What did he do now? We've made all these arrangements. So I raced home to where I am now in my home in near to Deep Cove, changed my clothes, put on running shoes, raced back, got a wide angle lens, went up the tower, bingo. So I guess you could call that a highlight. Pretty good photo, too.
Yes, oh my goodness. No, thank you for sharing. And I asked you just a moment ago, if I may ask again, what has the feedback been like?
What is the what?
Feedback. Has the feedback been like for the documentary?
Oh, I guess half a dozen people have called and said, hey, I saw your ugly mug on the screen.
Yes.
Generally, people seem to be, at the show itself, people are always going to be complimentary when you're face-to-face. They're not going to punch you in the nose. But things are, I got a text message this morning from an Irish woman in London I haven't seen for decades. And she said, hey, the world is abuzz with your movie. So who knows? Somebody's seen it. You've seen it.
Yes. No, it's lovely. It's a really, I find it educational, and it goes like looking through your lens. But do you have, you've taken many, many photos, and, you work for the Vancouver Sun and Vancouver Magazine. Have you had many people ask to have a photo taken with you?
No. Oh, some. Occasionally, yeah.
Yes.
When you're out. That sort of grew with the development of what we call the age of the selfie. Like when I started doing this,
yes.
Nobody really thought of that. But now you can't go anywhere without people photographing themselves. It is with the development of the selfie that I've had more of them. I hope they weren't totally disappointed with the shots they took.
No, I mean, No, I was just like, you know, one of the many, many events you've gone to, if I may say, you would look and you would study the room and then take a photo. And but it's takes talent. Are you self-taught? Did you take courses? Like, how did you become such a successful photographer and writer?
I'm not quite following that because I'm not sure.
Oh yes, how did you have such a great eye for photography and for writing?
I don't know if I have a particularly great eye. The photographs that I constitute that show, and pretty well all the ones that I took in my job, are taken about as far from where I am now and where I am on the monitor. That is within 3 feet or so, with a moderately wide angle lens, close up. Not a hell of a lot of composition involved here. You're just sort of pointing it from a little higher up. So I don't think that's, you could really distinguish that by saying it's an eye. It's just, it's a snapshot. Really, that's what I call my work. Thousands, thousands of snapshots.
Malcolm, what is next for you? What projects?
The next project I have to do is go out and reorganize the garage here at the house.
Yes.
Just change winter tiles on one car for summer tiles. In other words, you might say domestic chores.
Domestic chores, yes, indeed.
If you live in a house, you've always got work to do. That's it.
And so, Malcolm, it was a pleasure to interview you today.
Okay. Likewise. there we go. Thumbs up to you. All right.
I wanted to say again, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate your time today. And congratulations. And is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything you'd like to add before we leave?
Well, I think so. I think you've got it covered. You've done your job. I've done my job. We've accomplished what we set out to do.
Yes. So
you have a good day and get to work.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Malcolm. Okay. Bye for now.